The first word on the health of the banks probably won't be the last.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We've got earnings this hour from the first of the major Wall Street banks to report. That would be JP Morgan Chase, which said this morning that it made $4.3 billion in profit last quarter. That's down compared to the same period last year, thanks to a drop in investment banking revenue, which is not surprising given the slowdown in corporate deals. Making. But as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, JP Morgan isn't necessarily representative of the whole banking sector.
It's easy to lump banks together as one big industry, but an institution like JP Morgan is completely different from a place like U.S. Bank Corp or even Goldman Sachs. Chris Whalen is a banking industry analyst.
It's like a coral reef. We have a lot of different kinds of fish, and you have to always approach them that way as an analyst.
And he says depending which species you're looking at, you'll get a very different answer about the state of the industry.
The regionals are getting better. The big guys are not. The big guys are still suffering from a lot of legacy issues, so you have to think of them differently.
Those legacy issues are things like bad mortgages. But even within the big banks, the picture can vary. Bank of America and Wells Fargo still have a lot of mortgage risk. Citibank, on the other hand, has cleaned up its housing mess, but it still has high loss rates. We'll continue to get bank earnings through next week. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Well, it's been a busy week in Washington. Congress passed those three long-delayed free trade deals yesterday in a move to create jobs in this country. But lawmakers also voted down the president's jobs package in the Senate earlier this week. We're going to talk jobs and more now with Republican Congressman David Schweikert of Arizona. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, when the president announced his jobs plan, you released a statement and you said, quote, this administration's regulatory environment has destroyed jobs and created a weak and uncertain economy. Give me an example of a regulation that you think has made this economy worse.
I sit on the Financial Services Committee. Mm-hmm. Day after day after day, we talk to folks who need lines of credit, or lenders, or community banks. And they stare at you saying, look, we're ready to go out and play, except with the rules and promulgations of such that are coming through Dodd-Frank, we don't know what the risk retention requirements are.
Like what? What are they worried about?
Give you a good example. If you and I were going to go out and do certain type of mortgage lending, what's the reserve requirements you have to have for it? We're not sure. So you actually can't open up your billfold until you know the rules you're playing under.
But the Dodd-Frank Financial Regulatory Reform Bill was passed for a reason, and it was passed because many people thought that Wall Street was not being regulated enough before. That's what led us into the bubble, which burst in 2008 and led us into this mess.
Yeah, but go back to what you just said. Regulate those areas of risk. When we sat in a committee with the very senior members from the year before who had voted for it, and we were getting testimony from the regulators talking about the new regulations on credit card securitization and automobile securitization. And they're looking at the regulators saying, oh, God, that's what we voted on?
Congressman, your leader in Congress, Eric Cantor, recently referred to the Occupy Wall Street protesters as growing mobs. Do you agree with that statement?
Not at all. The other day, I actually walked down and by the group here in Washington, D.C., but I found it fascinating. Because there were members there holding signs that would have read exactly the same as folks at a Tea Party rally.
Hmm.
You know, no more bailouts. Much of the frustration that at least I was seeing was the same frustration I hear from some of the most conservative activists out there.
Republican Congressman David Schweikert of Arizona, thanks so much for joining us.
No, yeah, I enjoy it.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. We're up across Asia and down about 1% right now in London, Frankfurt, and Paris. Here in the U.S., it's sentencing day for Raj Rajaratnam. That's the hedge fund manager who was convicted of insider trading. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 102 points to close at 11,518.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. By the PBS Arts Fall Festival, featuring Pearl Jam, Steve Martin, and more. Starts Friday night at 9, 8 Central on PBS. and by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
Now to the housing market. RealtyTrack said this morning 14% more borrowers started defaulting on their mortgages last quarter compared with the previous three-month period. But it's apparently taking lenders longer to actually repossess homes. None of that is particularly good news for buyers who are complaining about the condition of the houses they're looking at. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Realtors call it curb appeal, the extras home sellers throw in, things like landscaping or painting the window trim. But these days, in places hit hard by foreclosures, houses just aren't getting gussied up, on the outside or inside.
The houses are just so crappy right now. They look really terrible.
Sybil Solon and her husband Nils Devine recently bought a house in Oakland, California, and have quite a house hunting tale.
So then I can talk to you about the rats.
So why aren't houses being spruced up? Guy Sakala publishes Inside Mortgage Finance. He says sellers are looking at the competition.
If you're in a neighborhood where all the houses are foreclosed property and all the kitchens look like hell, then you may think there's not a lot of reason for me to fix it up.
So is curb appeal dead? Depends where you live. But if you're shopping for homes in foreclosure land, don't expect granite countertops. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, you may have heard that Ryanair, one of the super low-cost carriers in Europe, recently started charging people to use the airplane bathroom. That was stingy enough, but now the company has an even better idea. It wants to get rid of two of the three airplane bathrooms and replace them with more seats so it can sell more tickets. You know, that's actually a good idea, and really, who needs a seat? I mean, think about how many tickets Ryanair could sell if they just had everyone standing. And in fact, most passengers will probably already be standing up because they'll be waiting in line for that one bathroom. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Almost 3 million kids in this country live with their grandparents. Think about that and senior housing for a second.
The communities of the future are not what the communities of the past look like. I think there's a growing need for housing for multi-generational households.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Housing that's kid-friendly and grandma-approved. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.